وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِهَ نَفْسَهُ وَلَقَدِ اصْطَفَيْنَاهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ.
And who, unless he be weak of mind, would be averse to the way of Abraham? For it is we who chose Abraham for our mission in this world, and surely in the world to come he shall be reckoned among the righteous.
إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
Such was Abraham, peace be upon him, that when his Lord said to him, "Submit," he said, "I have submitted to the Lord of the universe."
Such was Abraham that when his Lord said to him, "Submit," Muslim signifies he who bows in obedience to God, who acknowledges God alone as his sovereign, Lord, and master, and the only object of worship, devotion, and service, who unreservedly surrenders himself to God and undertakes to live his life in accordance with the guidance that has come down from him. Islam is the appellation which characterizes the above-mentioned belief and outlook, which constitutes the core and kernel of the religion of all the prophets who have appeared from time to time among different peoples and in different countries since the very beginning of human life.
وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ يَا بَنِيَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ.
And Abraham, peace be upon him, enjoined the same upon his children, and so did Jacob, peace be upon him. My children, behold, Allah has chosen this religion for you. Remain till death in submission to Allah.
And so did Jacob. Jacob is especially mentioned since the children of Israel were his direct descendants. Behold, Allah has chosen this religion for you. Deen is a Quranic term signifying the way of life, the system of conduct, and the code on which man bases his entire mode of thought and action.
أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتُ إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ إِلَهَكَ وَإِلَهَ آبَائِكَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ.
Why were you witnesses when death came to Jacob? Peace be upon him. He asked his children, "Whom will you serve after me?" They said, "We shall serve your God, the God of your forefathers, Abraham, Ishmael, and Isaac, the one God, and unto him do we submit." Peace be upon them.
The one God, and unto him do we submit. In the Bible, the events connected with the death of Jacob, peace be upon him, are narrated in detail. It is amazing that this narrative makes no reference to his testament. However, the contents of the detailed testament embodied in the Talmud greatly resemble the Quranic version. The Talmudic version reads as follows: "Serve the Lord your God, and he will deliver ye from all trouble, even as he delivered your fathers. Teach your children to love God and observe his commandments, in order that their days may be prolonged, for God will guard those who do justly and walk in righteousness through all his ways." And the sons of Jacob responded, "All that you have commanded us, our father, we will do. May God be with us." And Jacob answered, "The Lord will be with you if ye depart not from his ways to the right hand or to the left." The Talmud Selections by H. Polano, London, Frederick Warren and Company, 1877, paragraph 113-14.
تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ.
now they were a people who passed away. Theirs is what they have earned, and yours is what you have earned. You shall not be asked concerning what they did.
You shall not be asked concerning what they did. What is being said here is that even though they might be their offspring in terms of blood relationship, they had, in fact, no true relationship with them. What right did they have to pretend to belong to them when they had departed far from their way? For God would not ask people what their forefathers did. It was rather about their own conduct and action that they would be questioned. Theirs is what they have earned is a characteristically Quranic expression. What we ordinarily characterize as either action or doing is termed by the Quran as earning. The reason is that each and every human action has its ultimate effect, whether or not it is good and will have its manifestation in God's approval or disapproval. It is this ultimate effect which is man's earning. Since the Quran considers this to be of paramount importance, it characterizes man's actions as his earning.
وَقَالُوا كُونُوا هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارَى تَهْتَدُوا قُلْ بَلْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ
And they say, be Jews or be Christians.
Then you will be rightly guided. Say to them, no, follow exclusively the way of Abraham, peace be upon him, who was not one of those who associate others with Allah in his divinity.
Follow exclusively the way of Abraham, who was not one of those who associate others with Allah in his divinity. In order to grasp the subtlety of this remark, two things should be borne in mind. First, that in comparison to Islam, the primordial religion, both Judaism and Christianity are later products. The name Judaism, as well as the characteristic features and elaborate body of laws and regulations associated with it, emerged during the 3rd or 4th century BC. As for Christianity, in the sense of the body of dogmas and theological doctrines which characterize it, it came into existence long after Jesus, peace be upon him. The question that naturally arises is that, if man's guidance depends on following Judaism or Christianity, how can Abraham and other prophets and righteous people who are accepted as being rightly guided, even by the Jews and Christians, be considered so when they were born several centuries before the birth of Judaism and Christianity? If they were rightly guided, from whom did they receive their guidance? Obviously, their source of guidance and inspiration was neither Judaism nor Christianity, since in their times these did not exist. So man's rectitude does not depend on those characteristics which led to the rise of Jewish and Christian particularisms. It rather depends on adopting the universal way to truth which has guided and inspired men throughout the ages. Second, the scriptures of the Jews and Christians attest that Abraham believed that worship, adoration, service, and obedience were due to God alone, and that it was his mission to have none associated with God in his attributes and rights. Since polytheistic elements had made inroads into Judaism and Christianity, it was obvious that both had strayed from the ways of Abraham.
بالله وما أنزل إلينا وما أنزل إلى إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب والأسباط وما أوتي موسى وعيسى وما أوتي النبيون من ربهم لا نفرق بين أحد منهم وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ
Say, we believe in Allah and in what has been revealed to us and to Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, Jacob, and the descendants of Jacob, peace be upon them, and in what was given to Moses and Jesus, peace be upon them. And in what the other prophets received from their Lord. We make no distinction between any of them, and we are those who submit to Allah.
We make no distinction between any of them. To make no distinction between the prophets means not to hold some of them to be right and the others to be wrong, not to recognize some to have been the recipients of divine revelation and the others not. All the prophets sent by God invited men to the same truth and to the same way. Hence, for anyone who is really a lover of truth, it is necessary that he should recognize all of them to be its bearers. Those who believe in one particular prophet and disbelieve in others do not in fact believe even that particular prophet in whom they claim to believe, for they have not grasped the nature of that universal straight way. Al-Sirat al-Mustaqim, which was enunciated by Moses, Jesus, and the other prophets. When such people claim to follow a prophet, they really mean that they do so out of deference to their forefathers. Their religion, in fact, consists of bigoted ancestor worship and blind imitation of inherited customs, rather than sincere adherence to the directives of any prophet of God.
فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اهْتَدَوْا وَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ
And then, if they come to believe as you believe, they are on right guidance. And if they turn away, then quite obviously, they have merely fallen into opposition to the truth. Allah will suffice you for protection against them. He is all-hearing, all-knowing.
صِبْغَةَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ صِبْغَةً وَنَحْنُ لَهُ عَابِدُونَ
Say, take on Allah's color. And whose color is better than Allah's? It is Him that we serve.
Say, take on Allah's color. This verse can be translated in two ways. One of these is, we have taken on Allah's color. The other is, take on Allah's color. On the eve of the advent of Christianity, the Jews followed the practice of bathing everyone who embraced their religion. This ritual bath signified that all his previous sins had been washed away and that he had adopted a different color for his life. This practice was subsequently taken over by the Christians and is termed baptism. Not only converts, but even newborn babies were baptized. The Quranic remarks here refer to this institution. The Quran says, in effect, "Of what use is this formal baptism? What really is worth doing is to adopt the color of God, and it is not water that gives one this color, but actual service and devotion to God."
قُلْ أَتُحَاجُّونَنَا فِي اللَّهِ وَهُوَ رَبُّنَا وَرَبُّكُمْ وَلَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُخْلِصُونَ
Say, O Prophet, will you then dispute with us concerning Allah when He is our Lord and your Lord? Our deeds are for us, and your deeds are for you, and it is Him that we serve exclusively.
Will you then dispute with us concerning Allah when He is our Lord and your Lord? The one principle that the Prophet and his followers unreservedly stood for was that God alone should be served. Does that call for dispute and quarrel? If anyone, it is the Muslims who are entitled to quarrel with the Jews and Christians, for it is they, rather than the Muslims, who insist that others beside God should also be made objects of service and adoration. An alternative translation of this portion could be, "Would you then dispute with us for the sake of Allah?" In this case, the meaning of the verse would be that if their dispute was sincere, it was easy to put an end to it by agreeing to serve none but God. And it is Him that we serve exclusively. They are told that everyone is responsible for his own conduct. If they have earmarked a part of their service and devotion to others than God, let them do so and see for themselves what it leads to. The Muslims did not want to keep them from error by force. As for themselves, they had consecrated their service, obedience, and worship to God alone. If the Jews and Christians could bring themselves to recognize the right of the Muslims to do so, the dispute could automatically be brought to an end.
أَمْ تَقُولُونَ إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَالْأَسْبَاطَ كَانُوا هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا قُلْ أَأَنْتُمْ أَعْلَمُ أَمِ اللَّهُ وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ كَتَمَ شَهَادَةً عِنْدَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ.
Or do you claim that Abraham and Ishmael, Isaac and Jacob, and the descendants of Jacob were Jews or Christians? Say, do you have greater knowledge or Allah? Who does more wrong than he who conceals a testimony he has received from Allah? Allah is not heedless of the things you do. Say, do you have greater knowledge or Allah? This remark is addressed to the ignorant mass of Jews and Christians who sincerely believe that all the prophets belong to their religious denomination. Allah is not heedless of the things you do. This remark is addressed to the Jewish and Christian theologians who were not unaware that Judaism and Christianity, with their existing characteristics, had emerged at a relatively late period in history. They nevertheless considered the truth to be confined to their own religious sects. They also perpetuated the misunderstanding that man's ultimate happiness and success lay in following the beliefs, institutions, and legal codes which had been developed by their jurists, theologians, and mystics long after the Prophet of God had passed away. When these theologians were asked to which among their religious communities Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and other prophets belonged, they evaded a reply. This was because they could not state categorically that they belonged to their own sect. On the other hand, they could not reply explicitly in the negative, for such an admission would have undermined the very basis of their claim that truth was confined to their fold.
تلك أمة قد خلت لها ما كسبت ولكم ما كسبتم ولا تسألون عما كانوا يعملون.
Now, they were a people who passed away. Theirs is what they earned, and yours is what you earn. You shall not be questioned concerning what they did.